All right, we are in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. It's been a while since we've been here on a Sunday night, and we were going through the New Testament, and when we got to the end of Colossians, we skipped Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, because we just got through doing those on Sunday morning. So it allowed us to move into the Timothys. Kind of the key verse in Timothy is 1 Timothy 3:14 says, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I'm delayed, I write that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth." So Paul is writing to Timothy, giving him instructions specifically on how to handle things within the church and within the church body. So chapter 1, he encouraged him to keep fighting the good fight in the warfare of the gospel. Beware of being shipwrecked. And chapter 2, he encouraged him to pray for all men. We saw the verses about men leading and women not taking authority over men. Chapter 3 was the qualifications of the bishops and the deacons. Chapter 4 was the chapter on let no man despise thy youth, but be an example. And so now we get to chapter 5, which deals with some interesting specifics in with widows. And this is something that we've discussed a little bit. We've had widows in the church in the past. And it's something that churches handle differently. And we handle it a certain way. Other churches handle it differently. But the Bible has some really specific things to say about it. So let's read those. First of all, in verse 1, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with all purity. So he's talking to Timothy as a leader in the church. And as a leader in the church, you're going to deal with people who are older than you, and you're going to deal with people who are younger than you. You're going to deal with older women and older men and younger women and younger men. And the verse is simplistic enough, but it's also hard to follow. It's difficult sometimes. So he says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. When I got here, I was in my early 30s. And hey, Dustin, how you doing? Hey, Brian, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 5. So there's a certain... I was going to put a bunch of verses here about gray heads, but we know the Bible says a lot about the wisdom of the gray head and the influence. So with older men, and Don and Larry were very significant in my early years here. I wouldn't use the word rebuke, but really gently encouraging. They don't have to do it as much as they used to. You know, you've learned a little bit over the years. But it was important that I respected those who were older, especially, man, young preachers, they think they know everything. They do. We're filled and puffed up a little bit. And we're just fresh out of Bible college, and we are going to change the world. And younger men, and older women is an interesting one, because for me it was Betty Alexander. She was very, very motherly to me. She could be harsh. She could be straightforward. And, you know, she'd give me a couple of these every once in a while. If I was going too long, let me know it was my time to stop. And she rebuked me quite a bit, but I really respected her, especially with a young guy coming in following her husband. you know, that would, she didn't have to take the time to mentor and encourage and stick to the word. And that was very, very, so she was great. And the younger as brothers and sisters with all purity. And that's really important. And that was, it's just really important. Let's go to verse 3. Honor widows who are really widows. And so when we see verse 3, that there is a definite definition of widows in the Bible. And there's something here that this not only applies to widows, but I think it applies to any type of welfare, any type of giving to those in need. And so we're going to walk through these verses. They're pretty self-explanatory. If any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home, to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. So if there is a widow, and in this particular idea, usually it would be, especially during Bible times, if the husband died, then your means of income would die with him. If a man was a widow, he'd just probably just keep on working. But for the wife or the woman, she would have really no way of having any income. So the first responsibility fell to who? The children and the grandchildren is very important. And, and I've mentioned this before, but what Liz did for my mom was just so incredibly out of the box godly, following the scriptures. It was tough for her to care for a woman that just didn't like her, threw things at her and cussed her out. And yet these verses played into that. It's our responsibility to the best that we could do. Verse 5, she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God, continues in supplications and prayers night and day. So if a person has family to take care of them, they're not the church's responsibility. It's the family's responsibility. But if she's left alone, then she should also be someone contributing to the church, somebody who is a servant of the Lord. Look at verse 6. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. Now let's talk about that verse. What do you think that means? It's a pretty... And basically, it's not talking about you should not have any fun or you should not enjoy yourself. But the Bible says in the last days, men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So if there's a widow who never goes to church, just, and we had a dear widow years ago come to the church and ask for a Hawaii plane ticket. She wanted to go to Hawaii with her family. And we just couldn't do that. It violated these verses, you know. So that's important. So what does it mean by if you continue in pleasure, she's dead while she lives? She's not saved. We're talking about a person who just lives for self and they're not saved. We read the verse this morning and somebody asked me about it after services that Jesus is going to come to judge the living and the dead. Well, the living are those that are saved and the dead are those who are not. So we are not, the church's responsibility in taking care of the widow are those who are committed to God. We're not responsible for every widow in Le Grand to take care of them. Now, doesn't mean we don't help them. We do plenty of that. There's plenty of giving that this church does in that area. Verse 7, these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the Father and is worse than an unbeliever. Pretty harsh language. We ought to take care of our family, and especially the kids that have taken care of their children, raised them, and we're happy to do anything for our children. And we're hoping, you know, as our parents grew old, we made sure, as we took care of our mom, we made sure she had a place to stay, and made sure we took care of our my father's funeral costs and different things like that. So you want to, because it just kind of, the roles switch as they get older. And I don't want to be a burden to my children, so I'm hoping that I won't. But I think they'll take care of us when we get older. So those are the basic rules. A widow who's truly a widow, doesn't have family to care for her, is a servant of the Lord within the church, then the church would gladly do what they can to meet her needs, pay her bills, make sure she has food to eat. Verse 9 goes on, do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number. So now he's talking about, if it's a young woman, there's still an opportunity for her to work and still an opportunity for her to marry. And not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. If she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has been diligently followed every good work. And so we want, this is an idea of taking care of those who are serving God. Verse 11 through 16, and it's not welfare. If a young lady is able to take care of herself, able to remarry, has children, has family, they should take care of it. These next few verses are tough, but just let the words speak for themselves. Refuse the younger widows, for when they have grown wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And what this is talking about, that idea of grown wanton, it is to let go. And it is very common for young women to marry the wrong person, for fear of being alone or not being taken care of. And so they tend to, you know, get on the back of the motorcycle with the bad boy and ride off into the sunset. And I'm sure all of us have had relatives, loved ones, who we know are with the wrong person, and we try to encourage them. And so for some reason, God knows this, that it's a tendency. Maybe it's a desire to be a mom. Maybe it's a desire to be a wife or have a wedding. And they grow wanton against Christ. And so we want to be careful. Having condemnation because they've cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying these things which they ought not. And so he just, and that goes for male and female, without a relationship with Christ or a purpose in life. And I think that's where we see a lot of our young people today, especially within college age, that have too much time on their hands. There just seems to be too much time. For therefore, I desire that younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to an adversary to speak reproachfully. So this is the biblical desire, that younger widows, they just remarry, have children. And what do we see in young women today? What do they desire? Not to marry. It's freedom. They want to be, there's a new thing called, and Paige probably knows what this is. Do you know what a dink is? They heard the phrase, it's a younger, dink. It's very prominent. It's dual income, no kids. And it is the cry of our young people. They just don't want to have children. They just want to take part in pleasure. And the dual income, no kids, it is a standard of, man, look what, me and my husband make so much money, we can go anywhere we want, do anything we want, don't have any kids to worry about, and yet there's something missing. There's something not quite there sometimes. And so God says, it's just not that everybody who lives that way, it's not a sin to live that way, but God says living that way will tend to give you too much time on your hand, and that idleness can lead you into a selfish lifestyle. So let's read verse 16 again. Verse 14, I mean. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So just as Satan got to Eve, you know, you just want to be focused on the Lord. For some have already turned aside after Satan. If any believing man or woman has widows, let him relieve them, but do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. So this portion of Scripture gives us a good guideline to who we help. We have always taken the side here of generosity. I can't even explain to you. We had a good attendance this morning, but attendance has been down over the last couple months, number-wise. But the offerings have been through the roof. It's for no apparent reason. And it's miraculous. But this church lives by Matthew 5:40. It says, if anyone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Whoever compels you to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Now, in these verses, we don't want to take on so much financial responsibility of others that the church is burdened and can't. But we have been blessed by God and been able to give, whether it's through Nineveh, the shoe boxes, the Christmas boxes, or just helping people as they come and ask. And God has certainly taken care of this place. And so there is the principle of giving, but this is talking about when they're taking on widows, we're talking about them paying their bills, keeping them fed, and almost taking them in as a family member would. In a small church, very rarely are you going to run across a widow who doesn't have anybody to care for them. It's a very rare thing. But, you know, we have Esther really wants a place of her own. And we have offered to give her the help that she needs to get that place and to care for her. She is certainly, if you look at the qualifications of a widow's service to God, Esther certainly fills those, even though she's not, I don't think she's ever been married. But it works the same in my opinion, which is actually more like it because she wouldn't have any children or grandchildren or things to take care of her. Right now, she has Deborah and Marlena. And Deborah is incredible taking care of those two. She just is wonderful. All right. Let's go to verse 17, change the subject a little bit here. As you can see, Timothy is kind of this is how you ought to act in church. This is how you handle the idea of widows. If you remember, just one more thing. Do you remember when they appointed deacons back in Acts? Do you remember why they had to appoint deacons? Yeah, the widows were not, their needs of the widows weren't being met. And because they were growing so rapidly, the apostles had too much to do, and so that's when they appointed deacons. Verse 17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially for those who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. These are just basic verses. Luke 10:7 says the laborer is worthy of his wages. Galatians 6:6 says, let him who was taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. So you guys do a great job around here of taking care of the ones that labor in the word. And the idea of muzzling an ox while it treads the grain. So the idea there is you put a muzzle on the ox because while the ox is tilling the grain, harvesting the grain, it'll eat it and eat your profits. And so you put a muzzle on that ox so it can't eat your profits. But God says, don't muzzle the ox. It's doing all the work. He's hungry. He deserves to share in some of that. And so the principle here, however churches do it, however method they use, that if someone toils, it takes time to put a message together. It really does. It takes study. And so it's good. You guys do a wonderful job of fulfilling those verses here. Verse 19. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. So if there is an accusation brought or an issue, just don't take one person's word, one against the other. And if there is something found, to take care of it. The Bible in Matthew 18:15 puts it this way. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained a brother. But if he will not hear, take you one or two, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. If he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen or a tax collector. And that is, you know, if people are involved in things we know are wrong, we go to that person, show them the verses. If they don't change, then, you know, maybe bring Don and Larry and say, you know, we all three agree these verses are right. And then if they just think it's not, they're fine, then we want them to return to the Lord. And so that's important. It's just important. Basically, that verse is people are always going to gossip about the preacher. They're going to talk about the preacher behind his back, and they're going to criticize, and just be careful with that. There was a story I thought, I don't usually share little stories like this, but I like this one. There was a pastor, and someone came to him, and he says, pastor, I have a problem. And the pastor says, what's the problem? He says, there's a story going around that you told your wife not to go to a certain church because it had wild meetings. And then they say that when your wife wouldn't leave, you dragged her out of the church by her hair and hurt her so badly that you had to go to the hospital. And the pastor said, well, first of all, I've never told my wife not to go to that church. Second of all, I've never pulled my wife by the hair. Third of all, my wife has never been to the hospital. And fourth, I've never been married. And so the gossip started about this guy that wasn't true. So be careful when you're talking. Verse 21. This is verse 21 is something that we have to be careful of because it's a human nature thing. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice and do nothing with partiality. All right. God shows no partiality. Peter said this when he met with Cornelius. He says, I'm just aware that God shows no partiality. James 2:2 says this, if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also be a poor man of filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand here or sit here at my footstool, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges in evil thoughts? When I was a youth pastor years ago at a certain church,
The pastor came to me, and there was a certain family that was visiting with a couple kids that were teenagers, and he said, make sure you are nice to them. They can be really good tithers. And so that, I don't think he meant anything evil by it, but it certainly was violating this verse, showing partiality. And they met with a man tonight, and I sat with him outside a little bit. Alcohol on his breath, a little dirty, a little older, and tattered and ripped clothes. And do we chase him away, or do you just talk with him? And it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. But partiality, prejudices, favoritism, it just doesn't play in church anywhere. Galatians 3:26 says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ." We're just all one, all equal. We're different. God needs us to be different, but we're all the same. Verse 22, "Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure." So there's two things here. One this is a trap to, especially if you need workers, to lay hands on one's hastily. Laying hands on is kind of acknowledging that they're going to go into ministry. But we want to give people a chance to prove themselves, a chance to really see whether they're, we've had a lot of people that come and they're on fire for God and then they're gone. You just don't see them. So be careful. And don't share. Remember Paul said, "I'm all things to all people that I might win some." He wasn't a sinner. You might go to the bar and witness, but you wouldn't get drunk with the people in the bar to witness. There's a difference there. Verse 23, I will tell you that I do a little research on this. I'm not sure I got this verse right. As far as what the scripture is trying to say. But he says, "No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities." So Timothy has frequent infirmities. So this is, I think, a personal verse to Timothy himself. So why would he drink only water? Well, a couple of things here. The water, apparently, wasn't the healthiest of water back in those days. And for his infirmities, probably the problem was in his stomach. And there are certain places in this world where you want to be careful drinking the water. And so he was having stomach issues. Well, why wouldn't he drink a little wine to take care of his stomach issues? Yeah, it would work. It would work as a medicine. So what would it keep Timothy from drinking the wine? It says not to be drunk with wine. It says in chapter 3 that deacons are not to be given to much wine, but then pastors are not to be given to wine. And so let me share this part with you. I think what he's saying to him is you are trying to look very holy by only drinking water, but it's not good for you. It's okay. Take a little wine, and it's we as pastors and ministers, we're human, and so sometimes I couldn't wear a robe, but just something about it, to wear the holy garb kind of thing, it would bother me. So when I read this verse, he's telling him, look, you're trying to show too much. Just be yourself. Your stomach hurts. Take some medicine. And then these next two verses are very true, and it took me a while to kind of
understand them. I put some question marks in my notes. But he said, some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment. But those of some men follow later. So what do you think that means? Some men's sins are evident, but other men's, they're sneaky sinners. In other words, you can't tell a book by its cover all the time. But the opposite works. Look at, likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. He says, look at some people's, they're obviously, you can look at them and say, boy, that is an evil person. Hitler. That's an evil person. He's evident. Esther, so sweet. I'll talk about her because she's not here. We this kind, just a kind woman. All right. Brian, the nice guy, servant of the Lord. We think. We were, do we really know? So this goes back to just, you know, be careful. Be careful. Don't lay hands on anyone hastily. Don't call anything holy too soon. Give people time. And just know that, you know, I'm sure all of us have had people who we really trusted that surprised us with how they turned out against. And then some people that we probably had a bad first impression. And as you got to know the person, you saw, you know what? And so in leadership and in the church, just be patient. Be patient. Yes?
When it comes to widows, there's always that case where one is a widow, whatever, and they have children, but the children will not take care of them. Not the church still out of compassion and love and help them.
Yeah, I think that is exactly, it's the responsibility, first of all, on the family, if they neglect it. And we've had more of that than true widows.
I think it's becoming more of a practice.
Yeah, I think it's that the dual income, no kids. It's also dual income, no, they're not going to have, if they're not going to want kids to take care of, they're certainly not going to want to take care of their elderly parents. And that is really prevalent. It is sad to see. And so there, you're exactly right, Don. The church would step in, especially for those in need. Very good point. And so I wish our kids were here for this tonight. Maybe we'll show it to them later. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for these instructions. Lord, some of them are difficult. They're tough, and they're situations, Lord, we would run into over the last 30 to 50 years here. And Lord, we try to handle them according to your word, according to your scriptures. And Lord, we're in a world that's kind of out of sorts in many of these teachings. And Lord, but help us to bring our attention to obedience to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.